Hi everyone, it's Aliza Licht here, your host, and I'm so thrilled to share that my new book, On Brand, Shape Your Narrative, Share Your Vision, Shift Their Perception, is out now. I hope you'll pick up a copy because personal branding is for everyone. It's for the new graduate starting out, the middle manager looking to level up, the executive who wants to be a thought leader, the entrepreneur starting from scratch. It's for anyone who wants to pivot or transition into something new. Because having a strong personal brand means that your name gets dropped in rooms you're not in, and that you're thought of for opportunities that other people haven't even heard of yet. So pick up a copy, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Hi, this is Aliza Licht, and this is Leave Your Mark, the podcast, where I brew fresh career advice with some of my most inspiring and successful friends. It's professional advice that you can action immediately, whether you're just starting out in your career or well on your way. With a massive to-do list and a large cup of coffee, I promise that you can get it all done and still have time to post about it. I am very excited to welcome my friend Andrea Wasserman to Leave Your Mark. This is going to be an amazingly informative snack segment, which is where we dive into one topic pretty deeply for the entire episode. And Andrea is a visionary, outcome-driven executive with more than 20 years of experience across consumer and B2B to C sectors. She is bold, and she has an incredible track record of building new customer-centric revenue streams, but she's also transformed existing businesses. She's managed large global teams across all functional areas, and she's driven growth in retail from Nordstrom's and Hudson Bay to Verizon to Yahoo to Chase. I mean, Andrea, you've kind of done all the sectors, really. And I think what's really important about today's discussion is the idea that you really are a change agent within all of these companies that you've been at, and the idea of being an intrapreneur, right? So still having a corporate job, but being able to really be exceptionally innovative in your role so that you can actually get to that next level. So Andrea, welcome to Leave Your Mark snack segment.
Thank you. As a longtime listener, I'm happy to be here.
Amazing. So I guess we'll start with, what are the qualities that as a person you feel you have, where you've been able to maneuver in these massively big companies and actually make an impact?
Look, I like big companies. I think there are people who say, I would not work for a big company. I am just a startup person. Now, I believe that those people can also succeed in big companies. But for me, it's a natural for me to be in those big buildings and large offices and surrounded by tons of people and structure and rules. That is all very comfortable to me. But I'm equally comfortable challenging, respectfully challenging what's in place. And so I think what you really need to be successful in building new businesses in existing companies is that willingness to challenge the status quo, understand when it really makes sense to advocate for breaking the rules, so to speak, not just to go crazy and break them, but to advocate for that, to bring people along. And then also to realize when you have to fit in that box and make the existing rules work for you also. So I think it's that self-awareness of what's around you and who's around you and genuinely wanting to succeed in that environment.
So breaking the rules, you know, certainly when people are earlier in their careers, they're not thinking about doing that. At what point in your career did you start finding yourself comfortable to challenge the status quo?
Well, I do want to clarify, actually, it's interesting because somebody asked me a question a few years ago about whether I am a rule follower or a rule breaker. And I struggled with answering that. And I realized that I'm neither. I'm a rule changer. And so I share that because I think it's important for people to consider whether that's a comfortable ground for them, where it's not about doing something that nobody knows about or that everybody disapproves of or is going to get you in trouble in some way. But it's about saying, here's a rule that doesn't work. And here is the way that the business model for this company needs to change in order to make this new part of the company make sense. And let's actually talk about that and get people on board. And so I really think about it less as breaking rules and more about advocating for changing them. But to answer your question, I think because I had that mindset, I was comfortable with it fairly early because I didn't feel like I was going out on a limb and was going to get my hand slapped for something. But I was comfortable asking the questions and saying, what if we did it this way instead? Let's change the rule together. Let's all embrace that.
So many people are so uncomfortable with the idea of changing what has been institutionalized. I mean, I have various clients where when I first joined and you're just sort of immersing yourself, learning about the culture and the company and the way the business works, it's like, oh, no, we don't do it that way. And I think you have incredible cross-functional experience. And when you are trying to change the rules and you need to bring along so many different stakeholders from different departments, how do you navigate that?
Well, you mentioned the cross-functional experience, which I do find helpful in giving people a construct to understand where something does work. And of course, you always want to be clear that it's not exactly the same and that you realize the differences and you're not trying to overgeneralize anybody's business. But it is about painting a picture that includes examples of how this has worked and how it's not a crazy idea. And that maybe if we tweaked something and could apply it in this different sector, it would make sense here as well. And I think what's helpful in that is grounding whatever you're talking about in the customer. All businesses, whether it's a business to consumer business, a business to business, we all have customers. And in many cases, they're more similar than different. As I've worked across the companies and the sectors that you mentioned, our target customer actually was almost the same in most cases. And so to be able to say, yes, I realize that Verizon is obviously a very different business than Nordstrom, but there's a lot of customer overlap. And here's what worked in my last role. And could we think about it this way here? Again, not saying we have to, not suggesting that the businesses are the same, and always being clear not to let people think that you think that, but at the same time, trying to draw some of those connections.
I love that. When you're trying to build a case for changing a rule, are you doing like deep competitive analysis? Are you trying to show them what their peers are doing? Like, how do you position the idea?
Some of it is competitive analysis. Some of it, again, is customer insights. That's, you know, always a good place to start. It's certainly an understanding of the business objectives. I can give you an example if it would be helpful.
Yeah.
Going back now a decade ago when I was at Nordstrom, and we were really trying to get into the bridal business for a number of reasons. And in order to acquire our target bride, I did customer research. It was clear that we needed to sell a certain type of wedding gown to this customer. And so the first step was saying, well, how are we going to actually have these gowns in our store and be able to sell them? And so then what I needed to think about was, what will it take for Vera Wang or Monique Hulier to be in business with us on made-to-order gowns? So without going into the deep nuances of the bridal business, there are certain things that designers like that require. And they were not things that Nordstrom, historically in a very different business model, had done. And so that was a way to say, we have this customer. We need to serve the customer with X. We cannot get X unless we do Y. And so let's go back to the objective of this business. Do we want the customer? What are we going to be willing to change in order to make this entire value chain of events something that is feasible for us? And to extend it further, we knew that this is a customer who wants to be able to make appointments online and see the dresses online before she comes into a store. Well, that triggered a whole technology conversation about what we were willing to do on the website that we hadn't done before. And so again, it's about really being clear on the business objectives and staying grounded in that as well as the customer needs in the segment to figure out how many changes we're actually willing to make in order to get the business done.
So that's a really good example, but it actually is a great segue with the previous question that I was asking of how you get people on board. Because even mm-hmm. in that example, your great idea is going to create a lot of work for your site development people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you sort of hold hands with everyone so that people are excited to do that?
Yes. So the first part of what I shared is about how you actually get executive approval to make those changes. And that's typically a key part of starting businesses like this in large companies, is looking kind of up in the organization at what kind of sign off you need. In terms of establishing lateral relationships and getting people on other teams to get this work done for you and by extension for the customer, it's about that word team. And it's about this acknowledgement that they may not report to you on an organizational chart. They may have a different boss with a whole other set of priorities, but you want them to feel like they are on your team for this initiative. Mm-hmm. And that it's not just a thorn in their side and this extra project that they have to do at the end of the day because you're working on this new business, but really that they get to be part of something that is new and exciting. And so some tactics to get really tactical that I've used in the past are actually naming this broader team and not really caring that it is all via dotted line and doesn't look like it's your team on an org chart. Of course, respecting people's conflicting priorities and times and other managers and all of that. Mm-hmm. But from a recognition standpoint, not caring is what I mean. And saying, I'm going to have an all hands for this team and including all of those people. And if you're giving out holiday swag or inviting people to an event, all of these people are included. You're doing a recognition program. Again, think about who is part of the broader effort in making this initiative happen, not just the people. And it's typically a much smaller team in these new businesses, not just that smaller team that directly reports to you.
I love that. So one of the things you've said is to pay attention to everyone who's looking to you for leadership, whether they report to you or not, and recognize them. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, it really is a continuation of this theme of setting a vision for everybody who has a hand in the project. So they may not report to you on the org chart, but when you're doing that all hands meeting and you're sharing the vision for the upcoming quarter or year, or you're having a look back where you're recognizing people, include those people who are working on it. Again, even if they don't report to you and even if it's just kind of a dotted line relationship because they're working on this project.
It sounds like a lot of these types of projects are almost incremental to like the normal course of business. It's like mm-hmm. you've identified a white space or a void or something that's not working, could work better, but there's all of the other priorities of the normal job description, so to speak. So how do you prioritize your time? What percent of your time would be spent to something that's like a nice to have versus we must have?
Well, I could give you percents, but I have a feeling that if I started going through that, they would add up to more than 100, which I know is not technically possible for anybody. But you know, sometimes the passion is there and that does happen and you find a way to get it all done. I think that regardless of how much of your time is going to any given initiative, because it will always vary, the most important rule is to be transparent about where you are spending time. So again, when you think about managing up, down, around 360 degrees in an organization, you never want people to be caught off guard by where you are spending time and what you're prioritizing. So if in my case at Verizon, most of my job was thinking about Verizon's thousands of existing stores and the customer experiences in them and the omnichannel journeys we were creating for them. And so most of the time that I spent communicating with stakeholders was about that. The reporting that I was spending time with my team creating and distributing was about that. There was another project that had some real passionate people behind it in the organization that was building a whole new store format. And so there was a little bit of segmentation on my part to say, I'm going to talk about these stores to these people, and I'm going to talk about this new project with these people. And there was some crossover, but I think that it's partially sure about how you spend your time and balancing that. And it might be 90%, 10% on one day and the opposite on another day, but it's also about what you're telegraphing to the organization. And going back to your prior question about how to bring everybody along who has any hand in it, it's definitely giving everybody the impression that what they care about or what they're working on is the most important thing to you. And not in a disingenuous way, but because people want to feel like what they're doing matters and is important to you.
How often along the way of this project getting completed, do you give internal comms as far as updates and where it is and like the different milestones that you could report on? Would you sort of wait till the end? What's your strategy?
So it's different depending on the levels of the organization. For people whose entire job is about what you're working on, they're going to want to know weekly, if not daily, exactly what's happening with it. And so that's an audience that you really cannot over-communicate to. And you want their buy-in along the way. You want to know what their concerns are. There's probably a different audience that might be more executive. And you want to be a little bit more edited in that and not overwhelm them with the amount of information you're sharing. So it's always going to be a little bit different. I recommend asking upfront and saying, I know that you're really busy. How often do you want to hear about this particular initiative from me? And then really customizing to that approach, because you have to think about even internally these people as your clients or as your customers, and you want to serve them in order to continue to get support for what you're working on and to be building those relationships.
That's great advice. So last question, and I think maybe the most important one, you know, we went from the great resignation where everyone's like, I'm out of here, I'm going to get this new fabulous job, to let's hope I don't get laid off, which is where we kind of are right now. For people who are dissatisfied with their current job, but don't feel like they can get another job right now, how do they manage up to be able to become an entrepreneur in their own company? Like, let's say you're a middle manager, someone who is not at the executive level, who is just wanting to make the most of their current position. What are some things they can do?
Well, one, I think being really aware of timing. If you are worried about getting laid off and you want to succeed in your current role, there is a decent chance that your boss is also worried about getting laid off and wants to be succeeding. And so realize, I think, always that your priorities are not necessarily his or her priorities. And equally importantly, that whatever you can bring to the table to help that person succeed is going to go a really long way.
Such great advice.
I would recommend an upfront conversation about what's on your mind right now. What's not going well? Where do you feel like I can step up and help you with something? And that's a great way to start generating ideas, especially for more junior people who may not have purview into the broader organization, about what you might be able to work on that is a little bit more entrepreneurial. I would also say, especially in this economic climate, to be cognizant of budget and to be prepared to be really scrappy in anything that you might propose working on. You know, think about how you can figure out new processes, new ways of working internally that don't cost money, but could make everybody more efficient and happier and more effective in what they're doing. Or think about ways that you can, you know, take a pot of money that is doing something specific and maybe move the peas around on a plate a little to get a different outcome without actually asking for an additional investment, which could realistically be a little bit hard to come by right now.
I mean, amazing advice. And I think your point about going to your manager and asking what they're thinking about and how you can sort of support that. I mean, there wouldn't be a manager in the world who wouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm so lucky to have this person on my team. Mm-hmm. The goodwill that comes of that. I think that that's such great advice. Andrea, amazing to have you on. This is such an important topic, especially right now. And you are definitely the expert to talk about it. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Leave Your Mark. If you want more career advice or tips on personal branding, make sure to pick up a copy of my new book, On Brand, Shape Your Narrative, Share Your Vision, Shift Their Perception. Want to land your dream job or kill it in your career? Don't forget about my first book, Leave Your Mark. If you want me to speak at your company or at an offsite, or if you need consulting services, please go to alizalick.com. I would love to connect with you there and on social media. And just remember this, if change doesn't hurt a little, it's not change. Keep on rocking.